The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." He also told them a parable. "Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye,' when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grab your bulletin real quick, and on the very back page, the back side of it, I've got printed for you the 5th petition of the Lord's Prayer. It's always good to review the catechism, and this is the subject for our sermon today. So let's speak it together, the 5th petition. "And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." What does this mean? We pray in this petition that our Father in heaven would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that he would give them all to us by grace, for we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. So we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
There are all different kinds of paper cuts. You can have a deep paper cut or a shallow paper cut. You can have a paper cut on the palm of your hand or on your tongue. You ever gotten a paper cut on your tongue? All different kinds of paper cuts, and some are worse than others. Some bother you more than others. Some frustrate you because you think you should have known better. I shouldn't have done that. There are all different kinds of paper cuts. But none of them is as bad as cancer. No paper cut is as bad as cancer. Imagine that you have been cured of cancer. You had a bad prognosis. You had months to live. There was some experimental treatment that you were going to undergo, and lo and behold, you go to the doctor's office and you have a scan, and they discover that the cancer is gone. That kind of relief, that kind of joy, that is hard to capture in words. What a great day, what great news that would be. Now, can you imagine then going home and cutting yourself on a piece of paper? You're licking an envelope and you get a paper cut on your tongue and you say, "Ah, I wish I were dead." Can you imagine? You would never say that. Never, having just been cured of cancer, would you complain about a paper cut. In fact, you would probably say, "I will take all the paper cuts. I would much rather live with a paper cut every day of my life than ever have cancer again." Last week we heard in the parable of the prodigal son what it means for us to be forgiven. It is like having our cancer cured, something we couldn't do on our own, a situation hopeless in which we find ourselves helpless, and lo and behold, a miracle, a hope against all hope. We have been set free. Our sins have been forgiven. The cancer is gone. The sickness will no longer kill you. You have life ahead of you for eternity in heaven. But now you live the rest of your days suffering paper cuts. How will you regard them? How will you think about them? Those paper cuts, those are the sins that others commit against you. Which is worse? Your sin, for which you deserve hell, or the sins that others commit against you? I submit to you today, and Jesus will prove this point, that our sins for which we deserve hell are like cancer, and the sins of others against us, they're like paper cuts, and in comparison, well, there is no comparison, is there? And that is why Jesus says, in connection with the Lord's Prayer, that we should pray in this way: forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And in fact, he goes on when he's teaching his disciples the Lord's Prayer, he goes on and he says, if you don't forgive others their sins against you, neither will your sins be forgiven. And here's the reason why. If you refuse to forgive others, it shows that you have mistaken a paper cut for cancer. It shows that you have lost all sense of proportion, that you don't realize what you have been saved from, that you don't appreciate the gift that God has given to you, and so you have not received it. See how these two things are directly connected. Christ forgives us, and if you've been forgiven much, how can you help but forgive others? Jesus today talks about measuring, using a measure. The measure that you use with others, that's the measure that will be used against you. We cannot help but measure things. We live in a world full of measurements. So you go to the amusement park, and you have to be 42 inches tall to ride on this ride. You have to get a certain GPA to get into college. You have to measure whether you are better or worse than other people based on the good deeds that they can see in you in your life, or even straight out of the Bible. We love to measure. So St. Paul talks about love in 1 Corinthians 13. You know this passage. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures all things, bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Love never seeks its own way. You know that passage. What do you do when you hear that passage? Do you measure right away whether you have been living up to that standard, or worse, whether someone else has been failing to live up to that standard towards you? We are always measuring things. We cannot help it. And Jesus says, when you measure, watch out, because the measure that you use with others is the measure that will be used with you. You're taking a ruler, and you're holding it up to other people. And Jesus says, whatever ruler you use, that's the ruler I'm going to use with you. And so today and every day of our lives, let this be our prayer. God grant that we would use the ruler, the measure of his mercy, of his love and compassion and kindness towards us. Let that be the yardstick that we use when we are measuring others. We tend to do things all wrong. It's like we take a ruler and we hold it up to close to our eye so that somebody else looks like they're teeny tiny in view of that ruler. We get the scale all wrong. Today Jesus says, pay attention to the scale. Did you hear it in our gospel lesson? He says, you are walking around with a log in your eye. And what's in your neighbor's eye? It's a speck. You have been cured of cancer. Well, what your neighbor does to you is maybe give you a paper cut now and again. Jesus is always making these kinds of unbelievable comparisons. Remember what he says about the rich. He says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Or best of all, he tells this parable about comparisons, about measuring up, about extending mercy. He tells this parable. A man owed his master 10,000 talents, which is an astronomical amount of money. 200,000 years' wages. Hundreds of billions of dollars. And this man who owed his master this massive debt, he walked up to his master when he was called in to pay back that debt. He says, just give me a little bit more time and I'll pay it off. Just give me a little bit more time and I'll beat this cancer. Just give me a little bit more time and I'll deal with my sin. I'll get rid of my sin. No, it's too big. It's too far gone. It's too advanced. You can't pay off that debt. His master calls him in and he says, you've got to pay. And the man says, just give me a little while and I'll do it. But the master, for no good reason, looked at his servant and felt sorry for him. And he said, you know what? Your debt is forgiven. Go in peace. The cancer is cured. Your sins, I've written them off. I've laid them all on my son. He has paid the price for them. You can go free. You're debt free. Rejoice.
Well, this servant, he left his master's chamber, and on his way home, he ran into a fellow servant who owed him not an insubstantial amount of money, 100 denarii, quite a bit of money according to the year's wages, maybe like a third of a year's wages. He owed a bit of money, but it wasn't due right then and there. It wasn't pressing. And after all, this fellow had been forgiven 10,000 talents. What's 100 denarii in comparison? But he grabs his fellow servant by the collar and starts choking him and says, "Pay me what you owe me. Get rid of that paper cut. Would you stop giving me paper cuts? Would you please stop sinning against me?" He had forgotten immediately what he had been forgiven. The debt that had been written off on his account, the cancer that he had been cured of, his sins, which were so great that had been forgiven, he forgot. Well, things did not go well for that servant, and this illustrates Jesus' point. His fellow servants saw how he was mistreating his friend, and they called the master and they told him what had happened. And the master called this fellow back who had owed the massive debt, and he says, "I heard what you did, and that is not how it goes among us. I'm going to throw you into jail until you can pay the last penny, which is forever." So also, Jesus says, you will not be forgiven if you do not forgive those who sin against you. You will not receive mercy if you do not show mercy to those who sin against you. If you condemn, you will be condemned. The measure that you use with others is the measure that God will use against you. And so pay careful attention to how you measure. Remember that you have been cured of cancer. Here is the way to think about it in terms of the harm that you suffer in your life. It hurts when others sin against you. Although, let's be honest, most often when we are upset with other people, it's not because they have sinned against us. It's just because we're annoyed by them, or we're bothered by them, or they've done something that we don't like. And that's when we get really busy judging and condemning and withholding mercy. But let's suppose that someone else has sinned against you, and it hurts. It always does. That's what sin does. It hurts. The paper cut hurts. That 100 denarii, that was a real debt. But the harm that you do to yourself through your own sin makes that hurt pale in comparison. You do far more damage to yourself when you sin than anyone else can ever do to you by their sin. You do far more harm to yourself by withholding mercy than anyone ever could do to you by committing a sin against you. You have been cured of cancer. Your sin, which leads you to hell, has been forgiven. The sins of others, which do not lead you to hell, but may make you suffer for a short time, those sins you also can forgive. Your sin will kill you, but no one else's sin will. And your sin has been forgiven. That is the only way that we can remember, that we can learn to be merciful to others, is if we hold fast to what God has done for us, if we daily drown that old man in repentance, if we daily reflect on our lives, on our sins, on what's in our hearts, and learn again how much God has loved us, how much he has forgiven us. Whatever anyone else thinks of you, however ill someone may think of you, they don't even know the half of it, do they? However much evil someone can do to you, they don't know the half of what you have done already in your own heart. So let us start there. Earnestly confessing our sins, praising God that he has forgiven us for so much, and then looking at our neighbors with new eyes. And here is what those new eyes have to offer. Jesus says, if you use the right measure, the measure of God's mercy, if you show compassion and you offer forgiveness and you withhold judgment and you do not condemn, if you write things off left and right, if you treat them as paper cuts in the face of one who has been healed of cancer, then here is what you will receive. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That is what will be placed into your lap. Where you are generous and merciful with others, God has promised to be generous and merciful to you. When you reflect on the log that is in your own eye and let God remove that, then you are actually fit to help your neighbor, to offer him the bit of mercy that he needs for that speck that is in his own eye. When you start with what God has done for you and you rejoice that he has offered you heaven and all kinds of blessings for bringing heaven to earth right now, then you can forgive. Then you can be merciful. I think that we struggle with forgiveness most of all because we believe that the only thing that can happen on the face of sin, the only thing that can happen in the face of conflict or interpersonal difficulties, we believe the only thing that can happen is a ceasefire. So when I say, I forgive you, I mean, okay, I'm going to leave you alone about this right now. Or when you say, I'm sorry, you mean, would you please leave me alone about this right now? That's not what forgiveness is. Forgiveness, in fact, is not the goal. Forgiveness is the means to the actual goal, and that is a joyous life together. And this is what mercy accomplishes. So God has been merciful to us, not just writing off our debt and sending us away, but he has been merciful to us so that we can live with him forever. He wants to live with us. And so he has forgiven us and he has poured into our hearts his love and his spirit so that we can be with him. And that is the same reason why we pour our love and our affection and our forgiveness and our mercy into others, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why? Not just to get rid of pain, not just to remove conflict, not just to produce a ceasefire, but to bring about joy. This is what Jesus has promised. A full measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. We are hesitant to try it. Mercy is risky. After all, see what happened in that parable. That man who was forgiven the 10,000 talents, what did he do with the mercy that he received? He squandered it. He made a fool of that master. Of course, you shouldn't be that kind of person who makes a fool of the master, who squanders the gift, but you should be like that master who is willing to take the risk, who hears God's promises and says, it's up to God to deliver the blessings. It is not for me to secure my own blessings. It is up to God who has promised to give me blessings when I am merciful and kind. And so, write it all off. Everything. All of the sin that others have committed against you, all of their annoyances and the bother and the things that make you angry and impatient, write them all off. After all, you've been given a place in heaven, and you want to share that place with them. How else can they receive it? How else can they enter the kingdom of God unless they also receive mercy, which they can, at your hand? The more we appreciate God's mercy towards us, the more we can extend that mercy. And so we will dwell all our days, every Sunday, and throughout the week on the forgiveness that God has given to us. We will never tire of hearing God's love for us, of plumbing the depths of his forgiveness. Let us always learn to see with these new eyes the way that God sees, through the tender compassion of his Son, whom he willingly gave up for our sake. He has made us his sons, his children for eternal life. Let us pray that we may all see one another there, rejoicing in the gifts that he has given to us. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.